I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Beat me up on the mamas of all mama shit.
Hey, I'm looking through my telescope and I see a mothership. Is that you? Beam me up.
Hey, D.A., I'm thirsty, man. Can you beam me up for a cold one?
Hey, D.A., what's going on, baby? Stop me off and beam me up.
D.A., what's the dealio? Permission to get in that mothership.
Is my window seat still available? Beam me up.
What's going on, D.A.? Hey, man, I need you to do me a huge favor. My co-worker's a jerk. Oh, just beam me up, man.
Get beamed up. Everyone else has. It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
And we come to you live from the Quicken Loans Studios. National mortgage lender Quicken Loans. Apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. Welcome back. DA with you here on CBS Sports Radio. So glad you're with us. Tonight is the NFL draft, of course. We'll have complete coverage right here on CBS Sports Radio. Taz and the Moose will anchor coverage. And then, of course, we'll be on the air tomorrow morning to react to everything that we saw in round number one. Joining us next up here on the show is a friend of ours, a colleague, a three-time Pro Bowler, played in Super Bowl 35, a member of the New York Giants Ring of Honor. The man, the myth, the legend, our good friend Tiki Barber joining us this morning on the show. Teak, good morning.
Good morning, man. Why you got to bring that up? Why you got to bring up the Super Bowl that we just got destroyed in? The only one the Giants have ever lost. It was embarrassing.
I didn't say that you lost it. I just that you played in it.
I appreciate you, brother.
It's good to talk to you, man. And, you know, you were drafted on this day. I can't believe I'm saying this 21 years ago because I remember you being drafted. I remember that second round pick by the New York Giants. What is this day like for these guys waiting on prime time tonight?
It's anxious, to be honest, DA, because you have no idea where you're going to end up spending the next 5-10 years of your life. And especially if you're aware that you're moving to another city, it gets a little nerve wracking. It was easier for me, though, because of my brother. Obviously, you know, most people know I have a twin, and we played together. And so we took in the day together. We played golf at a Birdwood Country Club in Charlottesville, Virginia. It was a beautiful day, and we sucked, but it was fun to just spend this, you know, I don't even know how to describe it, really, but we knew that our closeness was going to end. We lived together all through high school and roomed together all through college. And for the first time in our lives, we're going our separate ways in a few months. And it was actually perfect. He got drafted 30 picks after me, so I have bragging rights over him for that. But he ultimately won a Super Bowl. And as you pointed out, I did not.
I did not point that out to you yet. You can, of course, listen to Tiki and Tierney right here on CBS Sports Radio, 3 until 6 Eastern Time. So it's interesting because I would think this would be all excitement because, you know, you're finally going to get paid to do the thing that you love, and wherever you land, you're going to be in the pros. But what you're saying is it's not all excitement because there's nerve that go into how different your life is going to be.
Well, that, and it's also you don't know where you're going, and you don't know if you're going to be, a top 15 pick or something's going to come up and you're going to fall to the second round, the third round. And that just, it gets worse and worse and worse the longer you wait. And, you know, it's interesting because Rondé, as I mentioned, he was picked 30 picks after me. So I was the sixth pick in the second round, and we had just finished playing golf. And we're like, all right, you're going to go soon, you know, and talking to Rondé. Yeah, it's going to be a couple more minutes, you know, about 25 minutes.
Yeah.
We took showers. We went to dinner. We're at the, you know, getting some drinks at a bar on the corner down in Charlottesville, and he finally gets the call. You know, it felt like it was forever later, but it happened. It was only 30 picks, but it felt like forever. And so that I think that anxiousness to just get it over with is difficult sometimes. But once you finally get picked, it's amazing, right? You start planning your life. You start thinking about, all right, what's next? You know, how do I start making preparations and, you know, and talk to your position coach? And before you know it, it all happens, and you're in this whirlwind of adulthood, of a profession that, you know, for the last, you know, 5 or 6 years, you've been doing it because you love it. Now all of a sudden it's a job, and it's awesome, and it's anxious, but it's a great experience.
That's really interesting. In your draft in 1997, two running backs were taken ahead of you. Warwick Dunn went number 12 to the Buccaneers. Then Antoine Smith went number 23 to the Bills. Then you ended up being early second round, number 36 overall, to the New York Giants. It was a different era in 1997. Still grounding out and using running backs was a central point of the offense. How different is it now when you assess where to take a guy like Saquon Barkley, considering he's so talented, but that the league has evolved so differently since you were in it?
It's very different, DA, and it's interesting that draft that you're talking about, you know, Smith notwithstanding, Warwick Dunn and I were in a unique role as running backs, right? Because we weren't that 6'2", 230-pound guy who was going to go get you 3 yards in a cloud of dust. You were going to run us to the edge. You were going to sometimes, you know, mix us in between the tackles, but use us as a receiver out of the backfield. And it was new. It was nouveau to the league. There's really only one guy doing it at that time. It was Marshall Faulk. But it became like this niche position for a little bit, right? And LaDainian Tomlinson fell into this mold. Matt Forte fell into this role. And then it kind of disappeared. Because all of a sudden it became about, all right, we're going to do this by committee. We're going to have one guy that's going to be our between the tackle guy, and we're going to have this other guy who's going to catch the ball in the backfield, be our, you know, the word, quote, change of pace running back. But a full shift has now happened, and we see it with Le'Veon Bell. We see it with David Johnson. We see it with Alvin Kamara. We see it with even Christian McCaffrey if he starts getting more carries. And I think that will happen now that Jonathan Smith is no longer, down there in Carolina. He's with the New York Giants now. I mean, Jonathan Stewart. So I think it's the position has evolved, right? It's become, you know, this big, burly guy who's getting 3 yards in a cloud of dust to this two-player system that teams have run to, if we can now find this stud who has a competitive advantage because we don't have to take him off the field ever, and a defensive coordinator has no idea where he's going to line up. Is he going to be dotted behind the quarterback? Is he going to be side saddled to the quarterback? Is he going to be lined up as a slot receiver, even put out wide as a wide receiver? If you can find that guy, it's an evolution of the position, of game planning, and we have a few of those. Saquon Barkley is certainly one, which is why I believe he should be a top five pick. And even Sony Michel from Georgia, he can fill that role. So I love where the position is going. Where at one point we were talking about it being devalued, now I think it's being reevaluated, and guys are starting to play to it.
Wow, that's a really interesting point. So you actually think the versatility of Saquon Barkley, even though the game has evolved past one running back carrying the ball 25 times a game, you actually think the versatility of Saquon Barkley makes him more valuable, and that's
absolutely
why he should go high.
Absolutely. That's why it's so hard to figure out how much Le'Veon Bell is worth, right? Is he worth it? You know, the $10 or $11 million that a traditional running back should be paid, or he catches 85 passes a year. Think about that, 85. That's top end receiver, you know, 15 years ago. And here he is as a secondary, even maybe tertiary receiver. He's catching 85 passes in addition to rushing for 1,200 yards. And so how do you value that? Because it's certainly not in the traditional sense of a running back. It's not, you know, the Antonio Browns or the Odell Beckham Juniors who were, you know, superstar wide receivers, but it's got to be somewhere in between. And I think that position is unique. And if you can find a player that can do it, it makes your offense explode. You have to look no farther than, you know, the New Orleans Saints and my good buddy Sean Payton, who found this kid probably by mistake in Alvin Kamara, and it changed the nature of their offense Drew Brees no longer has to throw for 5,000 yards for them to be successful, and they have the versatility and diversification. And as a defensive coordinator, you're like, geez, man, what do I do? How do I stop these? How do I stop this team? Right? You have a good quarterback, good wide receivers. You have a running back who can kill you from anywhere on the football field. That is valuable, and I don't think it's appreciated enough in the National Football League.
Hmm. Tiki Barber joins us. Tiki and Tierney, of course, every day right here on CBS Sports Radio, 3 until 6 Eastern. You can also watch that, of course, on the CBS Sports Network daily. So do you think your old team, the New York Giants, should take Saquon Barkley then at number 2?
I think that NFL teams should take the best player available and stop this whole, we draft for need. I mean, we need this guy. We need this position. We need XYZ, because you end up looking at a position and not necessarily looking at the best player. And so we get enamored with things that don't matter, DA. We start talking about, man, that guy looks fantastic in his underwear. I'm talking about the combine. That's just in shorts and t-shirts, no pads on. Man, that guy is, he runs an unbelievable 40. Well, look at his hand size. Well, look at his cannon of an arm. He can throw it 60 yards downfield. And what we've neglected to put a premium on is this guy productive? Like, what does he actually do when the pressure is on and he's got to go make a play? What does he do? We don't talk about that enough. And so that's why when I evaluate all these quarterback situations, I think about these quarterbacks that we're talking about. I look at, you know, the Baker Mayfields and the Josh Allens and the Josh Rosens, and I say, all right, did you perform? And the one guy who performed was Baker Mayfield all the time, right? Whether it was throwing into tight windows, his completion percentage was 56%. The rest of the guys are 20 points lower, right? Whether it was completing completions on third down, which he did at a clip that was unbelievable. Josh Allen, Josh Rosen, those guys didn't, right? It's the same thing can be said for playmaking ability outside of the pocket. Who did it consistently? It was Baker Mayfield. All those other guys, there's question marks. And so when I look at who's the best quarterback, these things, by the way, translate. These aren't things that you just talk about. These are things that translate from college to the National Football League, and we discount them because we get enamored with nonsense, and that's what happens in the draft. I look for best players, DA. Best player in this draft is probably Bradley Chubb. And second best player is probably Saquon Barkley. The third best player is likely Baker Mayfield. I actually, in my mock draft, I have those three going 1, 2, 3, just like that. Everybody thinks the Browns are going to take a quarterback at number 1. They can get a quarterback at number 4 and develop them because they have Tyrod Taylor there already. So I look at this differently because I look at it from a can you play, not what do you look like in your underwear.
Hmm. Tiki Barber joins us this morning here on the show. Tiki and Tierney daily, 3 until 6 Eastern here on CBS Sports Radio. Having played in New York, having spent your career in New York, it's a tough media town. Baker Mayfield's emotional. Yeah. Can Baker Mayfield survive the landmines of the back pages of New York and the New York sports radio and press if he's playing in New York for the New York Jets?
I think he can because I think he'll grow up. I think that being in a locker room full of men as opposed to a locker room full of boys is a completely different mind blow. You know what I mean? I'd use a different word, but we're on national radio. And so it's one of those things where you realize it doesn't take long to realize that, man, these guys, these are grown men, right? My teammate is not 18 now. My teammate is 29 and has 2 kids, and his livelihood matters because as the ultimate team sport, what I do matters to the guy next to me, right? And so his livelihood matters on me being able to perform. And I think Baker Mayfield, having talked to him at the Super Bowl down on Radio Row and just hearing him and knowing about his intellect and his football IQ. I mean, forget the Wonderlic test. That doesn't measure anything. But his football IQ, it makes me say, man, this kid will get it, right? He'll understand it. He'll revel in it, as he should, but I think he'll get it. And so can he survive New York? To me, absolutely he can. And I think the Jets would be doing a disservice to themselves if they went for a guy who they needed to develop again, instead of a guy who can come in and play right away.
That's interesting. Tiki Barber and Brandon Tierney, they will have complete coverage, of course, today going into the NFL draft, 3 until 6 Eastern here on CBS Sports Radio. Watch them on CBS Sports Network, of course, tomorrow as well, recapping round number 1. Follow Tiki on Twitter at Tiki Barber. Tiki, it's always good to catch up. I'll see you here around the office in a few hours.
Most certainly. I'll be in soon, my friend.
Okay, bud. Thanks so much, man.
Take care, brother.
Tiki Barber joining us this morning on the show. Tiki's just the best, isn't he? He's just excellent. so insightful, so articulate, so good. I love all those ideas. And how interesting is that? This is the only show where one segment, the host is going to go a completely different direction than the next segment where the guest goes, and it's going to be all good. To me, I worry about Baker Mayfield in New York. I worry about him playing for a losing team. I worry about drafting him for the Browns or the Jets. And here's Tiki saying he's the best quarterback. You've got to take him. He'll be fine. He'll learn. I love that. That was excellent. Excellent stuff from Tiki. So good. When we come back here on the show, last night, LeBron has a moment. Did the Kings save the Cavs season? DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Make the right game plan for you. Farmers Insurance has practical insurance knowledge gained from more than 89 years of experience. Find an agent at farmers.com.
We are Farmers. Bum, 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 bum.
iTunes are the place to go for full episodes of the show. If you missed anything or want to hear it again, you can download full episodes, full hours, full interviews, whatever it is that you may have missed or want to hear again. Just search DA and CBS in iTunes. You'll also find the Permission Granted podcast there as well, the show about the show. All of that audio also available on our website, daoncbs.com.
Come on, Damon. Wake up.
This injury report brought to you by the Salt Institute. Taking a look at the latest injuries. How about Andrew Miller? The Indian star reliever exited last night's win over the Cubs with a tight hammy. Scheduled to have an MRI on Thursday to determine the severity. Marcus Smart is back in the Celtics lineup as Boston takes game number 5 at home. Now the series shifts to game number 6 in Milwaukee. Smart making a huge comeback and a big difference for Boston in that series as it was 2-2 without him. After exercise, it's critical to replace both water and salt through the perspiration during the activity. Salt lost through perspiration during the activity. Salt is a vital component of hydration, and that's why athletes need it too. Find out more at alittlesalt.org. NFL draft tonight, breaking it all down. We'll have Will Brinson join us here on the show at the top of the hour at 855-212-4CBS. You can jump in, 855-212-4227, and on Twitter, DA on CBS. Last night at the buzzer, LeBron.
Marca LeBron, y ahora la tiene el rey. No comete la falta. Indiana levanta el triple. LeBron en camino. ¡Sí! ¡Increíble! ¡El rey inmenso! ¡El triple es su primero de la noche! ¡Tiene a los Cavaliers arriba en la serie! El jugador más valioso en la historia de los Cavaliers de Cleveland con el dagger, LeBron James.
Increíble! That's Cavs Spanish radio on the call as LeBron has himself a moment. He gets the block on one end of the floor in a tie game with just 5 seconds to play, pulls down the deflection, calls the timeout, then gets the ball, shoots the three, and LeBron wins it on both sides of the floor for the Cavaliers. They now take a 3-2 series lead and want to wrap up in Indianapolis in Game 6 this weekend. Number one, I think we could use more of the international broadcast influence in our games. What ends up happening is that the American sports broadcaster has taken his or her tip from British, English sportscasters, which are usually reserved. You know the English sense of humor. It's very subtle. It's very sarcastic. And that's how a lot of British sports broadcasters broadcast, a lot of soccer broadcasters, understated. Then you involve the international, the Latin American calls, the Asian calls, the African calls, places around Europe like Italy, like Spain, even France, and its explosion of excitement. And what ends up happening is American broadcasters sometimes feel hokey. They sometimes feel put on. They sometimes feel artificial, or they're looked down upon as kind of being clownish if they show too much emotion. So you're supposed to be very reserved. But the fact is, a broadcaster that really is excited, that really lets loose like that, I want to hear that. I think we can get closer to that. I think for too long, American sports broadcasting has been stiff upper lip. Don't make a fool of yourself. Which, to a certain degree, I understand. But I think we've gone too far, and that's just a great call.
Increíble, el rey inmenso! LeBron James!
Like, you'll watch the World Cup this summer, and you'll see, unfortunately, Fox did something that I'm very unhappy about. They have most of their broadcast teams calling it off TVs in LA. They're not sending all their broadcast teams to the World Cup, which is, to me, just unacceptable. Unacceptable. It's the World Cup. You spend hundreds of millions of dollars on it. Send your broadcast teams there. But they're also going with an all-American play-by-play lineup. And you want a little international flavor because I still don't think we do it well. Well enough. Number two on LeBron. I thought it was a goaltend. I thought that that ball hit the glass from Oladipo before LeBron got there. Now it's a split second. It's a hair of a second. You can't blame LeBron for challenging that shot. I mean, those are the things that if it's 1 inch or 0.5 seconds or remains in Oladipo's hands 1 fraction of a second longer, LeBron's job is to challenge the shot, alter the shot, try to get the rebound, try to block the shot. I don't blame LeBron for going after it. I did think it was a goaltend. But it's not called. That's not LeBron's fault. He comes down, calls the timeout, gets the inbound, drills the three. Oh, and it caps off a 44-point night with 10 rebounds and 8 assists at home in a swing game in a playoff series. As I said earlier, it's not his block from behind of the NBA Finals against the Warriors. It's not his ridiculous game number 6 against Detroit in 2007 of the Eastern Finals. It's not his game 7 against the Spurs in the NBA Finals when they win it. It's not his game number 6 in Boston in one of the most remarkable NBA playoff performances I have ever seen, because it's a first-round series. But it's another playoff what the hell from LeBron. And look, Michael made his career on all of those moments. The flu game. The shot over Byron Russell. All the threes against Portland. The up and under in the 91 finals against the Lakers. The 63 points against the Celtics in 86. His career is built on playoff moments where you go, oh yeah, that's the game. That's the that MJ moment. And LeBron's doing that. And he's doing it in front of our very eyes. He keeps stacking ridiculous, remarkable, astonishing playoff moments. And it's just simply, to me at this point, childish and small-minded to keep picking apart LeBron's game. Just appreciate what he is doing, because you may never see it again. I mean, the guy is in his 15th year in the NBA, and he's never injured. And he does that on both ends of the floor in a 44-point performance in a swing game in the NBA playoffs. You know, you don't know. Maybe we'll see another guy do this type of stuff, because I'm sure when Michael retired, we said there's not going to be another Michael, but you don't know how often you get these guys. We could have another 35, 40 years. Maybe we have one more guy that's like LeBron. And after Jordan retired, we didn't have this guy. I know Kobe had some similarities to Michael Jordan, but LeBron has surpassed Kobe. So you're talking about a top three player of all time. That means there's been three players. And I think you could argue that LeBron right now is number two. Some would argue he's number one. I would argue he's number two. you could say that in the 75-year history of the NBA, we've seen three players this good. So that means once every 25 years you get this guy. Enjoy it. Did it save the season? I've always felt like the Cavaliers would win this series. I still think it's Cavs in seven. I think the Pacers will win on home court in game six. But it'll push Cleveland into the second round. And last night, had they lost, there'd be so much pressure on Cleveland going into game six and then game seven that was an enormous individual effort at an enormous time on a night where your second best player was Kyle Korver. Because Kevin Love stinks, and because J.R. Smith went 0 for 8, and because the rest of that roster is hot garbage. When we come back here on the show, a little sound check, your best audio of the day. And when it comes to audio on a beautiful day like draft day, it's all good in the hood, isn't it? Tonight we got first round of the NFL draft, and finally the inexorable march towards players being chosen via cards and podiums will finally come to a conclusion. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
This is CBS.
It's the DA Show on CBS Sports Radio.
It's a throwback Thursday here on the DA Show, and we appreciate you spending it with us. As always, you can watch the show at watchda.com, that digital simulcast going on every single day. And right now, as we speak, it's mobile friendly, so check it out on your phone at watchda.com. And the NFL draft is almost here. Nobody covers it better than NFL Network. Go behind the scenes and into all 32 war rooms as the stars of tomorrow are selected. The 2018 NFL draft starts tonight, 8 p.m. Eastern on NFL Network and Fox. Our toll-free line is 855-212-4227, brought to you by Geico. Everybody, there's a quick way you could save money switching to Geico. Do you need homeowners, renters, or motorcycle insurance too? Get it all at geico.com. And Chris is in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, listening on 100.3 to CBS Sports Radio. Good morning, Chris.
DA, happy draft day, brother.
Back at you, my man. How you doing?
I'm doing good. How about yourself?
Oh, I'm doing great. I'm excited about the draft. I love how the NBA playoffs are going right now. Game 7, Stanley Cup playoffs last night in Boston was a wild and woolly affair. All is good.
Yes, sir. I tell you what, can't believe LeBron hit that shot. It was amazing. But before I, you know, get started on the NFL draft, long time coming, permission to enter the mothership.
Permission granted. Welcome aboard, buddy.
Oh, it feels good to be on. So, you know, I'm the best Bills fan that you're ever going to know. So here we go with it. I'm going to give you the top four picks and tell me what you think.
Okay.
I'm going to say the Browns, Darnold, Giants, Barkley, Mayfield to the Jets. And then my Buffalo Bills are trading the number four spot, and we're getting Allen.
You know, Josh Allen, though, might fall to you at number six anyway. Because at number four, you have the Browns coming back around. And if they take a quarterback right off the top, like you said, Sam Darnold, then they're not going to take a quarterback at number four. So let's say they take Bradley Chubb at number four. Now you only have to wait out the Broncos at five. And I've seen some mock drafts where the Broncos go with guard at Notre Dame, Quentin Nelson, who some have told me is actually the best non-quarterback in this draft. That guy has a Pro Bowl career in front of him because he's so mechanically sound, he's so solid, and outside of the quarterbacks, you can actually make the case that he's better than Bradley Chubb and Saquon Barkley, but just obviously not as dynamic because he plays offensive line. So you might not have to trade it to number four even to get a quarterback like Josh Allen. The biggest unknowns today, the biggest unknown tonight will be Josh Allen and Josh Rosen. In my estimation, those are the great X factors. Josh Rosen, because of two things, concussions in college and attitude. And I only say attitude because I don't know how you would truly define a guy that's got confidence. Some would say arrogance, but the idea that Aaron Rodgers is an arrogant, the idea that Ben Roethlisberger is an arrogant is kind of silly. So we're really going to downgrade that? I think that that's kind of stupid. But okay, the attitude rubs people some way the wrong way, the persona, the personality of Josh Rosen. And Josh Allen, I know people love his tools and his potential, but Josh Allen is a project. Josh Allen is a guy that you don't know when he's going to be ready to take over the reins. And you have got to develop him. And bad teams oftentimes do poorly developing. Those guys, though, could drop, or somebody gets enamored with them and somebody trades up for them. They say, we can fix them. We'll be the guy for the project. You never know. But those are the two big X factors tonight. Let's get to your best audio of the day. It's time for sound check.
CBS presents this program in color.
An educated person can't think he's going to get a recruit by strippers coming in.
They can fire you, but they can't eat you.
And they run through our ass like through a tin horn, man, and we could not stop them.
The audio you need to hear. It's DA Soundcheck.
We start with John Wall. As the Raptors are looking to ice things in D.C. in Game 6.
We love our chance. We're very confident. Like we said, it's the best out of three. And for somebody to win, the series got to win on the road. So that's what our goal is.
I'm still not completely comfortable with what the Raptors have done in this first round. It's 3-2. They could finish this thing off in Game 6 on the road in D.C. But they obviously just lost two in D.C., and the Wizards, let's face it, they're not your normal 8 seed like maybe the Timberwolves. Although I guess there is a similarity between them and the Timberwolves where they were better teams when healthy during the regular season. And because of a major injury to a major player, dropped to the 8 seed. For the Timberwolves, that was Jimmy Butler. For the Wizards, that was John Wall. Now when you're healthy and playing together, it's a different feel. It's a different team. But you know, the Raptors should not have taken this long to dispatch of the Wizards. Washington has chemistry problems. They have all season long. They have for years now. All Toronto needed to do was take one of the two down in D.C., and then they could have cleaned things up in Game 5 and moved on with their lives. And instead, they're still futzing around now going into a Game 6 where you know it's going to be difficult winning on the road when D.C. has its season on the line. They should have taken care of business, one of the two in D.C., and they just did not. But last night, Toronto does enough. And how about some of the unlikely heroes last night for the Toronto Raptors? I mean, DeLon Wright with a couple of huge shots late and 18 off the bench. A DeLon Wright even. John Elway on his starting quarterback situation. He's got Case Keenum.
Case is our starter. So We'll cross that road when we get there. But, you know, obviously I think that, you know, and every situation for young quarterbacks is different. I think it's different in today's world and the fact that it depends on what kind of football team those young guys step onto, too. They're thrown out there. The expectations are formed to come out and play early, too.
You know, I think that the Broncos are actually in an enviable spot here because the Broncos don't have to take a quarterback where they pick at number five. They obviously have a guy in Case Keenum that went all the way to the NFC Championship game last year. So they have the ability right now with a quarterback, a veteran QB there that's been around the block before, coming off a good season, who, by the way, was surrounded with a lot of the parts that the Broncos will bring to the table for him. Very stout defense, some decent weapons that he can work with, a team that's been to the playoffs regularly. You know, Case Keenum in Minnesota kind of has the same type of situation in Denver now. So the Broncos at number five, to me, are in a very enviable position. If there's a quarterback there that they love, maybe it's Josh Rosen, maybe it's Josh Allen, maybe it's Baker Mayfield. One of those guys, if they drop a number five, and it wouldn't be much of a drop, the Broncos say, oh my God, we love that guy. He's our man of the future. We take him at number five. We're good. Right now, it's Case's team, but in 2 years, it becomes this rookie's team, or maybe in 1 year. Or if somebody loves one of these quarterbacks, Broncos can trade out of that number five slot and somebody goes up there to get one of these QBs that the teams love. Or they stand pat and they take Quentin Nelson, Notre Dame guard. They take a defensive back like Denzel Ward out of Ohio State. I love Minkah Fitzpatrick. They could stand pat and take a Derwin James out of Florida State. There's a lot of abilities for Denver at number five. They're drafting higher than their needs, and that's a good place to be in the NFL draft. That's the best place to be. And finally, Victor Oladipo, on a quiet night in a Game 5 loss, had a chance to win near the buzzer or at least put his team ahead with just seconds to play, but his layup off glass or just before it hit glass was blocked by LeBron.
I got a step on him. Felt like I even got grabbed on the way to the rim. I tried to shoot a layup. It hit the backboard. Then he blocked it. There's replays, I guess you guys can see. I guess it's a tough play at the time for him, but it was a goaltend.
Looked like a goaltend. I've watched it over and over and over again. I think that it nicked glass right before LeBron got there. Right before. So, yeah, I could see it having been called a goaltend. But, I mean, the fact is, for Victor Oladipo, if he's going to whine and cry about that one play, how many other shots did he have last night that didn't fall? How many other plays did he have last night that he simply didn't make happen? I mean, last night at a Game 5 on the road, Victor Oladipo has this chance to ice the King, to ice the Cavaliers, to take a Game 5 on the road and come back and win in Game 6. And Oladipo went 2 of 15. He shot 2 of 15 last night. So I'm sorry, but Oladipo griping about one shot at the end of the game, hey, hit any of those other shots. Any of those other shots. And it wouldn't have mattered nearly as much. And that is your sound check. Mraz has been out the last 3 days, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. So he's missed some of the goodness here on the radio show. Sometimes time away here, he had a family situation, unfortunately a death in the family. And so we've talked about this before, but obviously all of our thoughts here on the show is with your grandfather, your family, and everybody, obviously, and yourself as well. Sometimes taking some space from the show is a good thing, clears your mind, clears your head. But in Mraz's case, clawing at the walls to come back. Clawing at the walls. What was the worst part about not working the last 3 days?
Jeez. Honestly, it probably comes down to my cousin from Florida staying with me for a week and clogging up my entire sink, shaving his whole beard that looked like Brian Wilson's from 5 years ago in the Giants bullpen.
Was it like a Brock beard?
Oh, yeah, beyond huge. And his mother, my aunt, texts him right before one of the first days of the wake and goes, make sure you shave that ridiculous beard. He tells me he's going to buzz it off. I'm thinking no big deal. He's going to go in the backyard. He buzzes it off into my sink and I have an entire sink full of hair that's backed up, clogged up.
Oh,
my wife's yelling at me. What the heck's wrong with your cousin? It was like the movie You, Me, and Dupree for the last week.
Oh, I feel like Robbie Rosenhaus dry gagging when I hear that. Did you actually have to take his hair out of the drain?
Yeah, he went, get some Drano. We'll fix it, no problem. Drano wasn't working. I got in there with an old butter knife, and I'm scooping hair out of the sink. It was brutal.
Oh, God.
On top of that, I mean, every snack in my cabinet is gone. Cheese nips gone, chocolate chip cookies gone, anything that was my treasure chest is gone. I needed a break from everything, and I needed to get back here.
On top of it, New York City sports talk radio has imploded over the last couple of days as the legendary Mike Francesa decided to return to his old stomping grounds. And so I'm sure you were reading about that, texting that. All of your family listens to sports talk radio.
DA, at the funeral yesterday, my dad's cousin, as the priest is saying one final prayer, everybody's holding a flower to drop on my beloved grandfather's casket. I get this whisper in my ear under a prayer. Hey, you know anything about Mike coming back?
Oh, God.
And I turn around to my dad's cousin. Are we serious right now? Oh, everybody's got tears in their eyes, and you're looking for me to give you a Francesa take? Are you giving me the, all right, I'll ask you later.
Yeah. Time and place.
Unbelievable. Even Francesa took over my grandfather's funeral. So, yes, I'm happy to be back.
Isn't it funny? I mean, sometimes you go away on vacation, you get a week away or something like that. You're on a beach somewhere, at a lake somewhere, you're in warm weather, whatever it is. You get away and you feel so good and you're like, oh, God, I don't even need to come back. And then some days you take a few days off and you're like, get me back to work. I mean, I think that's why Frances is coming back. He's just doing the get me back to work.
Yeah, it was, for me it was 3 days. For him it was 3 months.
Things have changed.
Get me back to work. We've all been there. There's just some of those times that you take off and you're like, okay, not what I planned.
I danced when my alarm went off at 5 a.m. today to get to the train station. I couldn't wait to get in here.
Danielle's like, Sean, are you up? It's only 3:30 in the morning. Yeah, I'm just doing some research for the show this morning.
The car wheel.
Just watching some highlights, going through some deep dives and stats. So, coming up here in the final hour of the show, Will Brinson's going to join us, CBS Sports senior NFL writer, on tonight's NFL draft. Also, speaking of the Raptors, they did take care of business last night, but how much can we believe in those Raptors? And there was a moment last night in the epic shot that LeBron hit that I was just so disappointed and depressed by. And it had nothing to do with LeBron, the Cavaliers, or the Pacers. It had to do with I saw around those guys. So we'll get to that coming up here next hour as well. You can always weigh in on the playoffs, on the draft at 855-212-4CBS. Or on Twitter, DA on CBS. Will Brinson next, DA, CBS Sports Radio.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.